Hey, it's Cindy Howes and Lizzie Noh from the podcast Basic Folk, honest conversations with folk musicians.
Basic Folk is truly changing the game with our well-researched deep dives that aim to empower the listener while fostering the folk community.
I basically am writing worship music for youth group rejects.
Maternal regrets and maternal guilt are universal.
I try to make things that are beautiful and that are made with like a purity of intention.
You can listen to Basic Folk on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network or at basicfolk.com.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
Do you walk up to my house and knock on a window and be like, hey, open the window up. I want to say something. No, this is my house right now. You got to give me my space.
And it was like the most hilarious, like, my cousin saw you.
Right. Do you know Jimmy John? He says you guys are buddies from Arkansas.
In Cold Station 10 years ago.
You have to make the decision. You have to be like, I don't. And they'll be like, well, he says you guys are friends. Or you have to go like, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. How's he doing? Well, you know, it's complicated.
Hey, hey, everybody. This is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van. Because we were going, oh yeah. One time Stoney and I were putting, what are these called? Air quotes. In different parts of each sentence we would say. And it was like the hardest I've ever laughed in my life.
Like you see signs all over the place that misuse quotes all the time. Yeah. Like at the baseball field here in town, it says no smoking.
Oh.
So is that like, like no smoking? You know, like we just have to post this, but you can smoke if you want.
Or we mean like weed smoking.
I don't know, but I don't like why.
Yeah.
Just say no smoking.
It would just be funny to put the quotes around no.
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 Smoking.
Smoking. Thanks for being here. I want to also thank myself for being here because we filmed in Dallas last night with Bowling for Soup, a New Year's Eve special.
Wow.
And we got home at 5 a.m.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for being here.
I knew you would appreciate it. But it was like pretty stressful because it airs on New Year's Eve for over a million people. So I woke up this morning and, well, like I woke up yesterday and my face is completely broken out because that's just the rule of TV.
Always.
And I decided I think I need a beard.
Well, they do come in handy because like right now, like my chin and my collarbone connect in a straight line and my wife has forbidden me from ever shaving my beard because in her words, no one wants to see you looking like a brontosaurus. So the beard is helpful for that.
That is really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a meme about be careful about men with beards and it shows like a before and after.
Right.
And that is so funny. Also, yeah, and you have a really hot wife, so you have to...
I listen to what she says.
You have to listen to
100%.
What she says. I love her. And she has a vintage shop on Instagram.
She does.
You could follow it along.
It is at Holly Shop Vintage.
Holly Shop Vintage. And we love her.
Our entire garage is full of her treasures.
I know. I love her treasures. I'm always too late, though. She always sells... I got to talk to her because I'm like... She's like, I knew you were going to like that. I'm like, I know. You need to ask me first. You know, the annoying customer? That's me.
You should like do a deal where you have a signature line of her found treasures.
I love that idea.
So she might not love that idea. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Well,
let her control it.
I will gladly pay for it. It's like when people tell you, hey, next time you're in Lubbock for a show, text me or let me know.
Yeah.
It's like,
okay.
I can never remember.
I have a concert calendar. Next time you see I'm going to be in Lubbock, you text me and let me know that I'm going to be in Lubbock.
Exactly. My favorite ever was I was sitting with these people and they texted Wade because he was in Midland that night and we were all in Midland. And he's like, I'm just going to text Wade. And he texted him, when are you in Midland next? And Wade wrote back, wadebowen.com. And I was so proud of him.
That's right.
Because I couldn't. And then everyone laughed and they probably still went to a show. But like, I've never done that. But yeah. I want to so bad.
I know. It's why we have a website.
I know.
That's what it's there for.
It's so hard. Also, we're ready, Kyle, right? We're going. Good.
Good.
Perfect. And then I wanted to...
Do you want to turn off the van? Are we going to keep it on?
Oh, should we turn it? Is it fine? Okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we're in the van.
We're in the van.
Yeah. Drew said he's done a lot of podcasts, but
not a lot of podcasts in the van.
Nope. And I actually, this might be the last podcast in this van.
R.I.P. in peace, van for the podcast.
Look at it falling. Look at it just falling apart. And it beeps.
And it just beeped. Service overdue by 6,100 miles.
Who wants to buy
License
this van?
License plate lamp.
It just is cycling through all the
low
alerts.
Tire light.
Yeah. I know. And the registration's expired.
But it's been good to you.
No, it has been.
It's been terrible to you.
It's been the source of 90% of my stress for the past 2 years.
You don't need it. It shouldn't be a vehicle.
Yeah, I just want to set it on fire, but Austin Mead called me and he might buy it. So
I think fire is the last option.
Yeah, right.
That's the last one.
Yeah. First things first, which is never the first thing that I say. Why haven't we written a song together?
Well, we just thought of one to write now. We talked about doing one in Nashville, but we weren't. Yeah. It's so funny. I write more with people from Texas and Nashville than I do
Me too.
In Texas.
Especially when I had my publishing deal. Like, people came up there to write. Like, Steve Helms came up. Like, everyone flew there to write
with
me.
Oh, you have a deal? They got snacks there? I'm going to come up and write there.
Snacks, and then you can hear everybody next door to you.
Yep.
Is that how yours is now, or do you have good writing
room? Depends on where you are. So, like, where I write at BMG, the rooms are pretty well tuned to keep noise in and out. But, like, I wrote a song at Spirit in a brand new building with Bobby Hamrick and Josh Greider a couple of weeks ago. And whatever they were doing next door was way cooler than what we were doing because we could hear it all. And I was like, that is awesome. Listen to what they're doing. Like, we're writing a folk song. Listen to those guys.
I know. I feel like when I was at Sony, because you know the firehouse over there, when I was at Sony, it was right when people were starting to come from LA to Nashville a lot. Mm-hmm. And everyone was writing with the drum loops.
Yeah, gotta have the drum loop.
And they were so loud. And the absolute impossible task of writing a slow, like a ballad next door to a... Dum,
dum, it's impossible. Dum, dum, dum. It's impossible.
Yeah, I can't believe the walls are so thin.
Eventually, in that scenario, someone's like, you guys think we should bring the tempo up a little bit or something? It's like, I don't know why I'm feeling like that. And then you hear... Dum, dum, dum. Next door,
you should
like,
just write
why.
To their
yeah whatever
drum.
That beat is let's do that.
It's hilarious. I mean, I just have so many things to talk about with publishing deals because I had one and you have had a few.
Yep.
And people, I kind of thought that this was going to be an artist podcast, and we do have a lot of artists who listen to this, but also we have a ton of non-artists.
Yeah.
And they kind of like to know the ins and outs and like the, you know, the things we never get to talk about. And I know that with my publishing deal, it was a little, I was a little lost in the shuffle that Sony bought EMI.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many acronyms.
Yeah.
And right when I signed, so I think my publisher had 42 writers.
Yep. When I first signed at BMG, there were 75 writers and there's 40 now, but even 40 feels like a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, could you imagine being a publisher and listening to all the songs every day?
I mean, then again, it's a better job than like, digging ditches.
That's true.
I could listen to people's songs, but it's still a lot of songs.
It's a lot of listening. And then I just remember thinking, what if he listens to 40 songs in one day? Like, I think that I wouldn't be able to deal well with that. But Dave Finley, who I love, he met one of my old publishers or saw him out and was like, oh, I love that song that Bree wrote, When a Heart Breaks. That's like, I love that song. And the publisher said, oh, we didn't really listen to her songs. We were just thinking she was going to get a big record deal and be a big star. So,
thanks.
And he called me and told me that. And I kind of knew, but my heart broke.
Yeah, it's never fair because that's like one of the dirty little secrets of the publishing game. Like if somebody feels like they could get a record deal, they'll take a chance on someone for a couple of years in case it happens.
Right.
And what they should be doing is taking a chance on a writer that they see potential growth in over the next couple of years. And whether they have a record coming or not, they shouldn't be trying to get their value from your songs from your own record. That's not their job. That's your job as an artist to do it, but it's not their job as a publisher. They can help find you songs if you need it. But what they should be doing is helping you grow as a songwriter because you don't want to be looking at one record in the future. You want to be looking at four records in the future. Like if we can develop Bree as a songwriter, her record is going to be better. She's going to be able to make more of them. We're going to be able to capitalize on our investment in her. And that is a shitty way to sign an artist to a publishing deal.
Yeah. And then also, I mean, when I got signed there, my first rights were Leslie Satcher. Like I'd never co-written a song when I got my Sony deal.
Yeah.
And then my first week was just with these big hit writers at Sony. And it was so intimidating, but it was so cool. But then, you know, then all of a sudden I'd go to Nashville and I'd have no rights on the calendar. Yeah. And I'd kind of be scheduling my own rights. And like, I get it. It was like kind of impossible for them to do the job of being publisher and calendar for 40. I mean, it was just kind of impossible. But whenever my deal was up, the president called me and he said, well, you know, we're not going to renew your deal, but you're short 6 songs. If you just write 6 bad songs, I'll, you know, we're friends. I'll turn my head the other way and just push them through. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, I hung up and I'm like, what is happening? So we dug into it and they were copywriting half of my songs as Bree Bagwell and the other chunk as Brianna. I was like 8 full songs over my quota or something insane, but it had just been like a clerical error. And that was another moment for me where I was like, come on, man.
Yeah, but you should have been like, all right, so maybe Bree Bagwell hasn't been writing the songs that you would want to renew her for another year. But what about Brianna? Because Brianna's been writing some bangers.
Yeah, it was just such a strange thing where, you know, it was kind of a corporate, like I got lost in the...
It's always the way that, because the person that's receiving your songs and entering them into their massive database, that's not their dream job. They're hoping that this is their first stop in the music business and they can move on to another job.
Right.
So, believe it or not, there are some members of the music business infrastructure who aren't the most motivated or hardest of working human beings. And that's what happens.
Yeah. And I don't want to like totally bash Sony because I loved a lot of people there and there was so many great things. And I got to like meet Keith Gaddis and Scotty Emmerich and like all these cool people and write with some amazing songwriters. But I think she sees a squirrel or a cat.
I bet.
That's enough whiskey. That's enough.
Well, you know, the good thing about coming in as an artist, though, even though it's unfair to be signed by like that way in the first place, is you did get to write with Leslie Satcher and Scotty Emmerich and stuff right off the bat. Whereas it took me 4 years before I could start writing with songwriters of that stature.
Yeah.
But because you have the potential of having a record deal, you can get into writing with those more established writers faster than someone who's just, people look at them as just a songwriter.
And I got, Heather Morgan was there and she was just kind of starting to pop and then now she's just killing the game. But I got to write with her a lot and it was also the moment of writing with somebody that's so fast and so good that I was like, I kind of don't belong here.
The first bunch of times I went up there, I was always in my head like, are we sure? That happened so fast. Are we sure this is the right way to do it?
Uh-huh.
And what I've learned over the years is it's so disconcerting to keep up with if you just write by yourself at your own pace. I'm like, okay, I have a line, and then I'm going to take a walk, and then I got 2 more lines, then I'm going to make breakfast, and I got another. Right. You can take your time and do it, but they do it, and it's almost like muscle memory. And it doesn't make the quality of the art worse for it. They're just like, they're like a songwriting bodybuilder. Like their muscles are at the top of the game.
This is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And it is amazing too, the stamina. Like I wrote with Helene Cronin, who I love so much. And Scott Sean White, Sean Scott. Okay.
Hey, it's his Scott fault Sean for going White. For all 3 of them. That's his fault.
I love him and he's great. But we worked on something for like 8 hours and got nothing. And they were like, this is great. No problem. Sometimes this happens, but it doesn't happen often for them. So they were like, it was an idea that it was just a tough idea, but they're just so good at it. And I was kind of like, after about hour 4, I was, you know, thinking what I was going to pack for the weekend or something.
Yes.
Like I just, but they just do it all day, all the time. And you do too. And I saw you I see you in the airport all the time going to Nashville.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell. And if you want to sponsor this amazing podcast, all you have to do is email onlyvanspodcast@gmail.com.
And how often are you going?
I'm going, like, for the most part, it's every other Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot, and I was doing that too. I did 48 round-trip flights 1 year, but I was 25.
I'm getting on my 48th round-trip flight tomorrow morning.
Oh my gosh. You're going to beat me.
Yeah. I'm going to get 50.
Yeah.
Because I'm going next week too.
Dang. Do you just have companion pass by like March?
I do.
Yeah. That's great. But it's one thing to be there and be a songwriter. It's another thing to fly and then play shows on the weekend.
Yeah. That is, it's so draining.
It's so draining.
To do all of it. Like, Monday is kind of like my Saturday and Sunday all rolled into one.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, Holly, leave me a list of things to do. And I'm like, could I just sleep for 12 hours this afternoon instead? But, you know, you figure it out. You have to figure out how to make it work.
And kiddos.
Yep.
Yeah, Paul and I are always like, what, you know, people, they do weekends, like what they have, they just have a weekend. Like, we don't even know, we don't have that.
Yeah.
Because Monday morning hits, and that's when all my team is working. We have meetings.
Yep.
And then you're going to Nashville to write, and then the weekends are for work also.
Yep.
So, yeah, I feel that so hard. And then sometimes I'll have a day off, and I'm like, I want to go to brunch.
Yeah, I want to do the things.
And then I go to brunch, and then you have too much champagne by 3 p.m., and the day's wasted, and then I'm mad for 2 weeks that I wasted a day.
You can waste a day.
I know. I need therapy for the ability to waste a day.
Holly is the same way. Her way of relaxing is doing work. And it's like, I can't.
I know.
You know, like, I need time to be quiet and just think about stuff in order for me to do the rest of my work.
Yeah.
And you got to have time to do it. You know, whether it's reading before you go to bed or whether it's going for a long walk or whatever, you just have to find time to be quiet, because if you're constantly pulling ideas from yourself or pulling performances from yourself for other people, and, you know, like, it's no joke. When you're playing a show, like, it's kind of your job to be like, yeah, I'm having the best time of my life. This is a great day.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you're just a little tired or a little worn out, or maybe you're fighting with your wife and it's not the best day. And that's me.
You have to mail a vinyl.
A reminder to mail someone a vinyl record.
Oh, no, they're never going to get it. You just X'd that reminder.
I sure did.
Kyle, remind Drew to mail the vinyl.
Yeah.
Right. And being on, I mean, that's part of the reason that I bought the RV, because I had nowhere to go.
Space, yeah.
And I was in here and my mom was in here. We played a show at Junk Gypsy and the lights are all shorted out in here because it leaks. And we were eating with our food on our lap and it was dark and we had, you know, and we're just sitting here and then it was raining. So it started leaking through the roof. And then somebody just came over and knocked on my window and was like, roll it down. I have a mouthful of brisket taco and I'm just like, oh my gosh. And I almost snapped, which I really don't do that. But sometimes it's like, come on, man.
Yeah. Look at what's happening.
Read the room.
Do you walk up to my house and knock on a window and be like, hey, open the window up. I want to say something. No, this is my house right now. You got to give me my space.
And it was like the most hilarious, like, my cousin saw you.
Right. Do you know Jimmy John?
And
he says you guys are buddies from Arkansas.
In Cold Station 10 years ago.
You have to make the decision. You have to be like, I don't. And they'll be like, well, he says you guys are friends. Or you have to go like, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. How's he doing? Well, you know, it's complicated. You know, he's been sick for a while. It's like, oh, I didn't know.
Now you're busted
now
for
you're
lying.
Screwed, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I have also started doing this thing, which I'm not proud of. But when I'm in a conversation that is offending me or something, I try to be so nice that it's a joke. It's a really fun game.
All right. So, you know, for a woman, Brie, you're doing a pretty good job out here in the music.
Right.
Like, I don't usually listen to women songwriting, but I listen to you.
I got that the other day. Oh, I'm supposed to be real nice to you right now.
Yeah,
I can't because I like you so much. I know. But it was somebody that I really liked the other day, and he called me, and he was like, well, yeah, I really want to have you on this project, and you know me, I don't like female singers, but you're the one I like. And I was like, dang it.
Can't say that. First of all, because it's not true.
It's you don't just like not, Fleetwood Mac and
yeah,
Shania.
Right.
And like,
it's just not true.
On. It's not true. But so I don't understand where it's coming from if it has no truth in it. And it won't go away.
I don't understand it either. It's the strangest thing. Like, if I want to listen to, like, I love, if I want to listen to fellow songwriters, the best people that I know that are making the best songs are almost predominantly women. Like, think about Lori McKenna, like,
Brandi Clark.
Think about, like, there's a songwriter at BMG who I love named Kat Higgins. Like, mm-hmm. that just writing brilliant songs.
Yeah.
And sometimes I love to listen to big productions and stuff, but sometimes I just want to hear the essence of a song and just think, like, that is as good as it can be done. And most of the people that I am lucky enough to be friends with that are doing songs on that level on a regular basis happen to be women.
I don't know how we're playing the guitar with our tiny brains and our tiny hands.
Don't your fingernails get in the way?
It is definitely, ugh, I don't know. And what's weird is, like, the guy, like Jarrett from Bowling for Soup, he doesn't really see that. Like, for some reason in the rock world, it's not as big of a deal being a girl.
I guess so.
It's getting better in country, but it is still so wild. Or they'll be like, well, we can't have a female in this festival because we already have one. I got that the other day.
That does not make sense.
I know.
I mean, there might not be as many female artists as male, but that's because the industry has been generally unwelcoming or more difficult to women. So as much as I appreciate a festival trying to be inclusive, women seem to make up of at least 50% of the population on Earth. So just having one seems like slightly underrepresentative based on the general population of the world.
Right. Right. Exactly. And if there's not 50-50 on a festival, that's not what I'm asking. That's not what we're fighting
right.
for. Whatever. Anyway, we don't have to. But you've included me on your festival.
Yeah. And I've got more festivals to include you on. When we started the Red River Songwriters Festival 12 years ago, one of my goals was to have it as equally represented as possible.
Awesome.
And we just started with the core group. We had Kelly McQuee, we had Susan Gibson, and Brandi Zidane. And then we had Josh Grider, Walt Wilkins, and myself. That's 50-50. And then we made sure our headliners were as close to 50-50 as we could get. Because, not because I thought we were making a statement, just because I thought, like, there's no reason why these people that I love who write great material shouldn't be on here too. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah,
like,
you don't want to see Brennan Lee?
Yeah, both of our headliners at Red River this year are women. And I don't think it's affected ticket sales or nobody's been like, oh man, we were going to come, but you know, women. Like, it works. I don't understand why it doesn't work more often.
Yeah. Well, good for you. So which ones are you going to put me on?
I mean, we got to figure it out. I mean, we can't commit on camera,
okay.
But...
Yeah, no, I want you to commit on camera.
That was
the point.
Marathon makes the most sense.
No, I would love to do that, but here's the deal with that. If I go there and Paul Eason can't go, he might break up with me. Mm. Like, you know how much he loves that whole area. That's his favorite. And if I go and he doesn't get to go, like, he will... He might unfriend us.
Well, that's his fault. I mean,
stop being in a really cool band.
Yeah, what are you? You're trying to advance your own career. Yeah.
On tour with Luke Combs, whatever.
Yeah,
Paul.
Big deal.
Gosh, I mean, I know. Well, I love that you love West Texas and you describe it so greatly. And I also love how we've kind of all become friends. And I don't think I've even talked about our music couples group much on here.
Well, you should tell everybody. Well, the text thread starts with an emoji of a taco and it says music couples therapy, and it ends with an emoji of a taco, and we basically get together and have dinner and bitch about life and the music business and talk about stuff we love and stuff that we don't. And then we go home and we try to do it once a month.
It's really great because it's such a safe space to vent, because even people that I love that aren't in the music scene, if I'm like, say anything, oh, you get to drink beer and sit on a bar stool for a living, like, why are you complaining? It's like, oh no, I'm not complaining, I'm just airing a common grievance, but I can't to you because you don't understand.
Right. And we understand.
You guys understand. And Rachel Loy was the person that I kind of told her, which I do this to myself, I'm an overthinker, but I feel like there's kind of all these cliques in the Texas scene.
Yes.
And I don't feel like Paul and I are in any of them, but it's not because we're not. It's just we also spend a lot of time by ourselves. We don't have a lot of time.
You guys work hard too.
Yeah, we're always working. And then we also love everybody, and I think everyone likes us too. But anyway, the point is, Rachel said, well, let's start our own clique. And then that's kind of how this came to be. So
and it's a good one.
I encourage everyone to do it because it's been really cool. And the Chops are in it.
They're in it.
And the Grider
folks. The Grider's is are in it.
Yeah, the Grider's is. It's really fun, and I'm enjoying it. And everyone cooks really well. Have you noticed
Everyone does a fantastic job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a Friendsgiving. It was delicious.
I could have carved the turkey a little more precisely, but also I was just trying to show Brian, like, hey, man, this is how you do it.
Well, Rachel was like, I think I have to YouTube how to carve a turkey. And I think it was me that said, I have a feeling that Drew Kennedy knows how to carve a turkey.
I know how to carve a turkey. It's true.
You can do a lot of things.
So can you.
Thanks. I'm very proud of you. I just wanted to ask you because time has already flown by, but I think I'm more of a quantity writer. Like, a publishing deal is enticing to me because of money, but I don't think I'm necessarily a publishing deal human, because I write a lot of songs and then Rachel and I go make a record, and she's my person who she can look at 50 songs and see potential and then help me polish them or whatever. Right. And what's interesting to me about, like, you or people that are really good and have these publishing deals is you're able to turn out like a song that's pretty ready to go. Would you say that's your ability to do that?
I mean, I'm not the producer in the room that's doing that. But as far as, you know, lyric and melody, top to bottom, yeah. It always amazes me when you can walk out of a room after 4 hours and you have something that sounds like it could be on a record right now. Like, so it takes everybody showing up and being a professional when they need to do it, including the producer. So usually, like, commonly in Nashville right now, there's usually a lot of three-way writing going on. And those roles are usually a producer, an artist, and the songwriter.
Huh.
And we're all collaborating together on the song, but the artist will start talking about things going on in their lives or if they had an idea or whatever. And then it's my job as the songwriter with the producer to try and find where that idea would live. And he or she running the controls, going to settle on a musical direction. They start getting to work. The artist and I start getting to work building something, and then we check in every once in a while to make sure we're both heading in the same direction. And then before you know it, you're like, I see exactly how this song is top to bottom. This is how we can do it right here, you know, for the bridge or no bridge or whatever. You just have to do a good job of trying to pull something out of the artist in my role, but also be able to connect with the person crafting the music so that your lyrics are going to fit into all of that. And
that's really fun. And I think that's like a lot of technology advancing, that is the ability to create a track from nothing. I mean, when I was at Sony in 2012.
Yeah.
So it just kind of wasn't like that.
Yeah.
Do you have any co-writing stories that are like any bad ones?
I mean, I've had ones where like, my co-writer is going through a divorce and they're like walking out of the room every 10 minutes to talk on the phone for 40 and then come back for 10. Be like, I'm sorry, where were we? And you're like, well, we were kind of thinking here. It's like, I don't know if, like, hold on, it's my ex-wife. I gotta take this, guys. I'm real sorry. Gone for another 40 minutes. You're just like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I've never had any like fist fights break out or anything crazy. It's pretty tame, but they happen.
Well, I feel like you get along well with everybody, and you've been writing with Will a lot.
Yeah, wrote a lot with Will for his last record.
Will Clark Green's record,
yep.
Which is great. And I think your ability, I can't remember what our friend Dave was saying, but your ability to paint a picture through a song, you are just so, I can't remember, he worded it so much better.
That's sweet.
But it's really, you really have a talent.
Thank you.
One day I'm going to utilize that for my own personal gain.
That's right.
Okay, good. And I appreciate you joining me in my van. Shout out to Terry from Lone Star Float House for becoming our very first. I didn't know you could subscribe to our podcast and pay us monthly.
It's the best.
I don't know how he did that.
Terry's the best.
He thinks these should be an hour, but I'm like, well, we're all so busy, but maybe we can work up to that.
You got to get a few more $10 subscribers to work up to an hour.
Yeah. Subscribe to this podcast. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah. What do you think? So we've had 3 joggers, 2 bikers, a walker. and an Amazon delivery guy go by so far. And I wonder, I wish you could see like thought bubbles in people's head as they go by. Like, clearly those are two people in the front seats of a big van with headphones and microphones talking at each other.
It is,
what's that?
It is very fun. I think I thought I saw one car drive by twice. Like maybe they were really checking
scouting it out.
Because whenever I think I have to look away and I think that this person, it might be even be this person. Here, let's look and see what they think.
Maybe they didn't really look over too much, but like maybe they're like, what if that's FBI surveillance?
Oh my.
Like, what if they got agents in somewhere and we're a block away, so they're covered, but we're talking to them as they're in the thing.
I love it so much. Yeah. Yeah, we would be doing a terrible job.
They would be really disappointed if that's what they thought. And they're like, so what were you guys doing? It's like, oh, here's the podcast. Like, oh.
We're songwriters.
Just talking about songs.
Yeah, here's my chihuahua. Huh. That's, yeah. But I love that. Maybe we should do a little CIA skit sometime.
Yeah, put a little, get one of those like magnets that just say FBI surveillance and just stick it on the side. Because I'm sure all undercover FBI surveillance fans have that
have
on
that
the side.
On there. Oh my gosh. Okay, well that's
it's like
a
reverse
great
psychology.
Idea. I love it. And well, we just played with him. We just for NBC last night, and they had a whole trailer that very
that's
much
so
looked
cool.
like it. Very much looked
what
like
what venue
FBI.
Was it?
It was at the it's called the Factory now, known as the Bomb Factory.
The Bomb Factory.
It was fantastic. And so if I had a little bit of brain lapse today, that's what happened. I'm on no sleep, but
I noticed no brain lapse whatsoever.
Well, you should see me. I'm full cylinders. Just kidding. Thanks for being here. Kyle has to go to a meeting.
Thanks for having me. Kyle, thanks for breaking up our cool conversation with your meeting.
We were just getting to the good numbers.
Just getting to the good stuff.
Okay.
Episode two.
Well, we'll do another one sometime.
Yeah.
Thanks for writing good songs.
Thanks
I love
for
your
having
book.
Me, Bree.
You're
hey,
welcome.
Thanks.
Write another book.
Thanks. Come play
with
marathon.
With all that spare time. Okay. It's contractually obligated.
That's it. It's on record.
Oh, my God. Okay, bye.
Okay, see ya. As long as somebody loves you and you love somebody, long as dogs wag their tails and birds sing their songs, long as you can drink a beer or a cold iced tea, as long as you and your brother get along. As long as stars are in the sky and sand is on the beaches, long as words are gonna rhyme and teachers wanna teach us, long as baseballs have seams, sleeping